NBA Courtside
Podcast.
Brooklyn, stand up. I got myself a gun.
Welcome, everybody, to the NBA Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Carlos, with my co-host, Big G. All right, Garrett, got a lot to get into. Some big faces going to new places. Where should we start, Garrett?
Well, first I want to start with mentioning, you know, we got a nice little taste here in the offseason of some basketball. We got the FIBA championship happening.
That was fun.
Which USA bringing home the title without contest, pretty much, wire to wire. So it was good to get a little basketball in, you know, get a little taste here before the season starts.
It was unfortunate that Spain kind of got bowed out there. You were looking for the Spain USA rematch.
To me, it has a bearing on, you know, these players that participated in the tournament. You know, they're fresh, they're ready to go. You know, they've been playing basketball.
They're locked in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see it in the preseason too. I mean, James Harden. I mean, he had a great pretty great tournament. He's ready to go as
coming
well.
On as a leader.
Yep.
You got guys like Klay Thompson who really stepped their game up.
Kyrie Irving obviously won the MVP there of the tournament. So.
Kenneth Fareed.
Yeah,
was
Kenneth
Fareed
really looking great, man. I was the owner last year.
Very active.
And he was kind of those up and down type players, but he's definitely progressing. He's trending in the right way, I should say.
Well, you spoke about Kyrie Irving, so I'm just going to segue into Kyrie's team. He's got a couple new teammates, some all-star caliber guys. I don't know if you've heard of them. Some people love K-Love.
I'm one of those.
Love Dow. Who's ready to fall in love?
Ricky?
No. Definitely not Ricky. That was close.
A lot of people love LeBron James. So you got a new trio there in Cleveland. LeBron, Kevin, and Kyrie. How's that going to work out fantasy-wise? Who do you think is going to – what's the pecking order? Obviously, LeBron's at the top. Is it Kyrie 2? Is it Kevin 2?
I'm going to have to go ahead and say, even though I am, you know, a Kyrie fan, I like K-Love as well. I think K-Love is going to continue to put up big numbers. I mean, barring injury, of course, because LeBron James is a distributor, especially in the first half of games, you know, the first three quarters. He doesn't really take it over unless he needs to type player. So I think definitely K-Love is going to benefit from that the most.
You're saying that it's going to be LeBron James 1, Alpha Dog, then, you know, Kevin Love, then Kyrie.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're looking at K-Love being ranked the number 4 player in Yahoo Leagues last year already. Without LeBron James, you know, out there helping make plays, getting him open on the perimeter, and so on and so forth.
Okay, well, I agree and I disagree. I agree in the fact that he will benefit from a lot of missed shots by Kyrie Irving and Dion Waiters and guys like that. He'll be cleaning up their miscues on the offensive boards, as he's prone to do.
But not only that, Irving's assist should see a rise as well. Instead of nobody, he's passing off to LeBron James and K-Love, you know, dishing them out.
But here's my thought process. Cleveland is set for a finals push. So they're looking at the longevity. They're not looking to get the most wins during the regular season. They may be blowing teams out offensively, but you have to remember that Cleveland also has Anderson Varejao and Tristan Thompson, who are both fairly decent power forward / centers, who may be eating away a little bit of Kevin Love's time. Especially when you look at garbage minutes and the fact that Cleveland is primed to blow out a lot of those lesser teams out of the water.
And it's kind of like a San Antonio Spurs type scenario. You know, a lot of their players don't get big fantasy run because, like you said, they are poised for and have their eyes on the ultimate
the big prize
goal. So,
like guys later on in the year on those top 5 NBA teams in the league, you know, they just might get set and that might hurt you big time. You know, like owning a San Antonio Spurs player when you're in the, you know, fantasy playoff push and you got one of your main guys sitting down just because Pop said, you know, he's old.
Well, that being said, too, though, I mean, with LeBron James is looking like the solid number 1 pick in the league with Kevin Durant's injury, which we'll get into, obviously. But I'm going to go ahead and have to say, obviously, K-Love's going to be in the top 10 easily as well, if not top 5. And you gotta put
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, you might have to put Kyrie in like the top. He's gonna be a little bit lower, but I'd say top 20.
I don't know. I think it's gonna be LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin, just because Kyrie Irving's a point guard and he's going to be the facilitator. He's gonna be running the show. LeBron's not going to want to bring the ball up all the time. This is LeBron's first time ever playing with a legitimate all-star point guard. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
You do have a lot of point guards that are available in this draft, though. So, I mean, personally, you're looking at overall stats. K-Love is, you know, getting you three-pointers, and, you know, he's getting 12.5 rebounds per game. That's hard to argue with there, you know. So
that's true. Well, you're saying that obviously LeBron James is going to be the consensus number one fantasy pick. I would say that somebody that's nipping at his heels used to be Kevin Durant, but like you said earlier, he's got a foot injury. He just had surgery. He's going to be reevaluated in 6 weeks.
So being that where we are right now, he's going to miss at very least a full month of NBA action.
I suspect maybe a month, maybe a month and a half.
Well, he won't even
he's going to be evaluated.
Yeah, he won't even be evaluated until a month into the NBA season.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. That being said, with Kevin Durant kind of, you know, healing up, if you would, does Russell Westbrook kind of climb up your draft board there? Or maybe guys like Reggie Jackson, who you maybe would have picked up on the waiver wire last year, maybe sneak on to last couple rounds of, you know, maybe I need a sleeper pick here. Reggie Jackson in a deeper league, would you draft a Jeremy Lamb? I mean, what do you think?
I'm not looking at Jeremy Lamb, but I mean, of course.
In a deeper league?
Yeah, maybe, but you know, Russ West is definitely going to get a lot of run as usual. His value is going to momentarily increase and continue to be solid after Durant comes back. So he's definitely worth a look in the top 20-25. But man, you know it. I know it. Anthony Davis, we all saw him in the FIBA championship. I mean, when he got minutes, he just looked great, dude. He's continuing to come along.
Yeah, I saw Anthony Davis in the FIBA World Cup, and he was just, obviously, he was the best center on the team. He got much more run than guys like Plumlee, even DeMarcus Cousins. He's taking a backseat to Anthony Davis. His versatility, his jump shot is looking much more...
his jump shot is looking smooth. I mean, he's got a good mid-range jump shot.
Yeah.
When you mix that in with his athleticism, you know, we all know the ability that he has to block shots at a high rate and pull down rebounds. That makes for a very high fantasy pick.
Now, the fact that he's got your boy, the Adam's apple from Houston, Omar Sheik, who's going to be starting at center, and you put Anthony Davis at the power forward, I think that that gives him more room to operate and roam defensively and maybe swat shots off on the weak side, because you got Omar Sheik really dominating that block as a true defensive center, and he can kind of go out there and really play those high pick and rolls and be disruptive, getting more steals and getting those, you know, weak side blocks where you're not expecting it. He just comes flying in out of nowhere.
That's one of those things, not necessarily from a fantasy standpoint, just from a basketball standpoint, that might fly under the radar. Most people who know basketball know who Omar Asik is, but being a longtime Rockets fan, I see how essential he is to our team, or can be to any team, especially to have that defensive presence coming off the bench is just so invaluable.
Well, I think they're going to start him, I would think.
I'm not trying to jump in the Rockets corner this early in the podcast, but that's just something I think is just going to just hurt the Rockets all year long.
Well, since we're talking about the Rockets, Omar Sheik left, Chandler Parsons also left, and Jeremy Lin is also gone. But you have Trevor Ariza to console you. That being said, let's go ahead and talk about Chandler P over in Dallas. How do you feel like his fantasy value is going to go from there? Do you think that he is going to be cutting into Dirk Nowitzki's potential fantasy value because Dirk's a little older, may have some DMPs, coaches' decisions?
I look for Chandler Parsons to be the man on the team. That's why they got him. He's going to get plenty of looks. His fantasy value should be on the rise, in my opinion.
It's interesting.
He's going to get plenty of run, and you know that. I mean, I saw him play against the Rockets in the first preseason game, And it was painful. I didn't think it was going to be as painful to watch, but seeing his skill and seeing him score buckets against us, just driving down the paint past three defenders, and you know, with an
easy
layup.
He's a versatile player.
He is good. And although he doesn't have the prettiest shot in the world, his fantasy numbers are going to continue to be at a level like they were last year, possibly a little bit higher, because he is the go-to guy, essentially.
Okay, well, let's look at the Dallas starting five. You got either Jameer Nelson or Raymond Felton starting at point. You're going to have Monte Ellis at the two, who's also ball dominant, although last year he showed that he can give you some decent assist numbers, and his turnovers were a little less. He just seemed more of a team player. You know what I'm saying? This is the first time in a long time I saw Monte kind of come to his own last year. From a fantasy standpoint, I don't know if that's going to really pay dividends for you. You got Chandler, you got Dirk, and then you got Tyson Chandler coming back from New York. So is Chandler going to be the number one over Monte and Dirk?
He may not in terms of total touches or anything like that, but he's going to get plenty of run. Look at him at the Rockets teams last year. Obviously, he wasn't the number one option, and he still put up viable fantasy numbers. You know, you got James Harden over there having the ball all day long. And, you know, Dwight Howard getting his touches as well. And Chandler Parsons still maintaining a solid stat line night in and night out.
Yeah. So, obviously, we all know that Chandler Parsons was my best friend. I ran into him last New Year's Eve. He's not returning my calls, so I'm also heartbroken as well. The drive up to Dallas is... it's a little time consuming, so I haven't made it up quite yet. I haven't been invited. So
your relationship is on the rocks, you would say.
I guess yes. So. Yeah. Another guy who's no longer flying high for Houston, that is Jeremy Lin. Are you gonna miss Jeremy? You gonna miss the Lin sanity?
I'm probably not. You know, I talk plenty of shit about Jeremy Lin.
Bye, Felicia.
I mean, he's got some offensive skill set that can benefit a team. That's for sure, but he just makes too many mistakes.
He's still fairly young.
But on the same token, that's going to be a position of struggle for the Rockets. Like it was last year. Like it's going to be again this year. So having, you know, not having any good replacement, you know, it's maybe I might miss Jeremy Lin. I don't know. It looks like he's going to get plenty of time, with Steve Nash being injured in LA. So we'll get plenty of chances to see what he looks like.
I mean, I don't even know what the starting lineup for the Lakers is, but I imagine it would go something along the lines of Kobe Bean Bryant, possibly Jeremy Lin. A lot of people are talking about Jordan Hill as prime for a breakout year. You know, he doesn't have anybody to really fight for minutes at that center position in LA at the moment. So it's basically his to lose.
Yeah, while he's not going to wow you with his talent or anything like that, you know, I've seen him play plenty here in Houston. I know that he can go in and get rebounds.
Would you draft Carlos, the one who boozes, Carlos Boozer?
I'm not big on Boozer. His field goal percentage has been struggling in years past, and he just seems like he's on the decline.
Not enough block numbers, not enough of the little fantasy goodies. I mean, he's pretty consistent. He'll be, you know, a 15-8 type of guy, but, like, there's just not a big fantasy upside there for Boozer. I'm thinking maybe in a deeper league, you draft Randall, the rookie, and hope that Boozer gets injured, and then he just kind of goes off. Because he's got a lot of raw talent, and I think that he would be more of a fantasy upside pick as opposed to picking a Boozer somewhere in your middle to later rounds.
So basically you're just saying, you know, screw Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Hope he gets injured. And, you're already putting the hex on him.
Shit. I did say that. I hope Boozer gets injured. Yeah.
We'll revisit this when Boozer gets injured.
I hope Boozer catches Ebola and Randall becomes...
That might be a little too much. I don't know. I hope he doesn't get Ebola. I'll just say that.
Okay. You're probably right. Well, we talked about Cleveland. We've talked about Houston. We've talked about the Lakers. We've talked a little bit about New Orleans Pelicans. With Anthony Davis probably being the number two pick in the fantasy draft. I want to talk a little bit more about the Pelicans. I know that you owned Tyreke Evans last year. How do you feel about his value as opposed to having a healthy Jrue Holiday coming in and Eric Gordon, who you would think would be somewhat healthy for the season. I mean, who knows?
You look at that team on paper, and they really do have plenty of talent. It's just who's going to produce on a nightly basis. Tyreek Evans can do it. He turned it on at the end of last year, but he didn't get any minutes for the most part of the year. He had a career low in minutes per game, and he finally started getting a lot of run at the end of the year. That's my big concern with him. How many minutes is he going to get per game? Can he stop taking those bonehead shots, you know, and make his field goal percentage look a little bit better? He's got the athleticism, but, God, after suffering through last year, it's just tough to justify taking him too early in the draft this year.
Well, okay, we talk about Anthony Davis being the perennial number one center off the board.
Yeah, he's going to be, you know, okay. shot so a lot, rebounds, all that.
Who do you figure to be like the next higher tier levels of centers? You got guys like Al Jefferson definitely number one center.
You can't leave Serge Ibaka out of the conversation.
Because he's got, what, power forward center eligibility in most leagues?
Yes, indeed.
You got guys like Brook Lopez, who, when they're healthy, are up there. But those are guys that I try and stay away from. Well,
there's one guy that we both had mentioned could be, I wouldn't want to say sleeper because everyone knows how good he can be and is. But if we're talking about power forward center eligibility, Al Horford is one of those players that you might want to look at to have a bounce back type year coming off his injury.
Yeah, it was a fluky injury as a pectoral tear. It's not something where it's a nagging situation like, you know, I had my meniscus rebuilt, or I had a bad ankle that's just been dealing with, you know, different types of wear and tear stuff. Like, it was a freak accident. I think people are reading into the fact that he was injured last year and really dampened a lot of fantasy teams that now they're not as high on him. But I think when he's healthy, he's definitely a top 10 center. Some other centers that I want to talk about, maybe Andre Drummond. I know that now we can go ahead and start talking about my team, the Detroit Pistons, Detroit basketball drop. There it is. Andre Drummond is going to be in a timeshare with Greg Monroe and Josh Smith. The thing about the Pistons that I like is that Stan Van Gundy ran the offense with Dwight Howard when Dwight Howard was Superman. So he understands the ideas of inside-out basketball. That's throw the ball into the post, kick it out to open shooters, and operate that way. Andre Drummond is a man-child. He can get you 14 blocks in 14 minutes. I mean, not 14 blocks.
That would be sweet right there.
He can get you 14 rebounds in 14 minutes with a couple of blocks. I mean, the guy's got a lot of upside. The one bad part about drafting an Andre Drummond, and I had him last year, his free throw percentage will catapult. You will lose the free throw category if that's a particular category that you're taking.
And we've been over this before. My personal strategy when I draft, it's the one category, well, I would say that and potentially turnovers, that I wouldn't say I ignore completely.
You don't factor it in as much.
Yeah, I don't ignore completely, but I'm not going to pass up on premier talent in the big time categories, you know, just because someone's free throw percentage is terrible.
Okay, so Andre Drummond could win you rebounds and blocks on his own, and he will also lose you free throws, which is last year I had Dwight Howard and Andre Drummond. I figured
you might as well go all the way. Yeah, you might as well go all the way.
I'm going to lose free throws anyways, so why don't I just, you know, try and piggyback on some more rebs and blocks. But I think the Pistons will be an interesting team. I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to be a top 5 seed or top 4 seed in the playoffs, but I definitely think they're in the mix. I think Stan Van's on the he's got the right track. He unfortunately got guys like Jody Meeks, who got a back injury. He's supposed to be one of the big signings, big knockdown shooter for us. He's out with a back injury for a while. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a really good summer league, had some pretty nice preseason games. He's dealing with a knee strain right now, nothing too serious, so I think the Pistons are going to be a little bit different. They also got DJ Augustine, who is definitely an interesting backup and basically kept the Chicago Bulls in it last year while Derrick Rose was absent for most of it.
He's just one of those players that he's got a little bit of talent. He's a journeyman now at this point. He's
just been, undersized.
Yeah, he's been to a lot of different teams. I mean, he can fill it up a little bit, but I mean, he's nothing spectacular, you know.
Yeah. So talking about some East Coast teams, why don't we go down in the Midwest and talk about the Indiana Pacers? Unfortunately, we were talking about the FIBA earlier in the podcast, and Paul George with the leg break.
I mean, if you've seen it, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to a fantasy podcast has probably seen it, it was pretty horrific. It's hard to watch coming from a guy who's broke his leg.
You did break your leg.
Very badly, very badly, somewhat of that same type of manner. What a freak injury. I mean, just it's because of the FIBA goal back post is closer to the out-of-bounds line.
In Las Vegas, I guess, was in that particular arena because it was a smaller venue, I think, is the reasoning as to why those posts were a little closer like to the baseline.
If it had happened on a normal NBA court, you would not have been anywhere close to landing on the posts like that.
Yeah. That's just tough, man. He went up trying to block a James Harden layup, and he wasn't even successful, and he ended up breaking his leg.
In my opinion, he's lost all fantasy value. He's going to be out probably the entire year. That's my personal opinion. I didn't have the best rehab or doctors to help with my leg, and it took me years to be able to walk, you know, and jog and run, you know, without pain. So. It's going to be at least a full season out.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. Big G is comparing himself to Paul George. The other Big G.
Not in the
original Big G.
Not in the slightest, all right? The only thing we have in common is we both broke our legs. Okay. Really, yes.
So that being said, you got Paul George. It's a big void in the offensive operations there in Indiana. Another thing with Indiana is that Evan Turner is no longer there. He's been jettisoned, is playing in Boston. Not saying he was a great player either. When he came over, things kind of got... Once he came over in that trade during the mid-season, is kind of when Indiana started self-sabotaging.
So
Lance Stephenson, who you would think... He gave up more money, from what I understand, and ended up signing with Charlotte for less. I guess maybe he just wasn't happy in Indiana, or he's got homeboys in NC. I don't know what the thought process was behind that.
He probably wants to be the man, you know.
But is he the man, or is it going to be Kemba, or is it going to be Al Jefferson?
Yeah, but he thinks, you know, he thinks he's the
like,
man.
Okay, I'm coming to Charlotte.
Yeah, have
and
you
I'm
not seen him on
man.
The court? Have you not, you know, seen his, you know, the way he acts?
I've seen
mentality.
Some of his music videos. They aren't too bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'll play it at the end of the podcast. I mean, okay. Lance Stevenson's dropping some knowledge, man. It's good stuff. Real talk, man.
If you say so, all right. I'll roll with it. I'll pretend like I've seen him too. Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
I'm not going to say it was really good. It's decent.
Lance Stephenson.
I didn't fast forward to it. I'll put it like that.
Dropping verses. Dropping bars on him, huh? Mm-hmm.
So he's dropping bars. Hopefully he's not, you know, dropping the ball and causing a lot of turnovers there in Charlotte. Hopefully things are running smoothly for him.
Is he going to end up behind bars?
Ooh. I wouldn't think so. I think
Does that decrease his fantasy value?
Now that he's a rapper, the the chances of him being incarcerated have doubled, or what?
I would say at very least doubled, yes.
At least doubled. Yes. Okay. Once you make a rap video, then you're automatically on...
You're a target.
You're a target for incarceration. Just boom. Right there. Well, Indiana, I mean, who's going to fill that spot? You got George Hill, Roy Hibbert...
Paul George injury, yeah. Who's gonna benefit from those absences?
Now, guys like Rodney Stuckey, maybe later in your rounds. And you say, hey, this guy's got some upside. You've seen Stuckey is not a great 3-point shooter, but he can give you some assists. He gets some rebounds. He finishes at the rims. He's kind of like a change of pace type of guard where you plug him in and he's just trying to get buckets. In Indiana is going to be interesting. I think that because of the Paul George injury, guys like Roy Hibbert and George Hill are going to go a couple rounds earlier than they would have if if Paul George was healthy.
I can't say that I disagree with that, because somebody's going to do something for that team, and those are the two most likely candidates I could probably think of as well. So
now let's go on to you're talking about guys that can do something for that team. Well, Wiggins thought that when he got drafted by Cleveland that he was going to be doing something with LeBron. Then he got sent over to Minnesota. Now you got Jabari Parker, who got drafted in Milwaukee. I guess I propose this question to you. Out of the two fantasy rookie studs, per se, who would you rather draft, Parker or Wiggins? Who do you think has the more upside?
Well,
I think they would both be getting a lot of touches, respectively, in their, you know.
You should hope so, because they're both playing for
Minnesota and Milwaukee, aren't
mediocre to bad teams. So, I mean, they've got nothing to lose by getting their big, you know, their top draft picks involved.
True.
It's really kind of hard to tell at this point. Wiggins would probably be the one I would go with on that one.
You're going to go Wiggins.
I'm going to go Wiggins.
I'm going to disagree with you.
That's why we have a podcast.
Not to disagree, but just, I'm your Kornheiser to your Wilbon, if you will. But what I'm saying is Wiggins was more raw. He was just like, he was like a dunk machine, whereas I felt like Jabari had a little bit more even temper with the ball. He made better decisions. I feel like Jabari's a little more well-rounded. I say for this year, Jabari maybe puts the better overall fantasy numbers up, maybe because he gets a little better field goal percentage, a little less turnovers, doesn't have to do as much in Milwaukee because he's got a little more help with guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got guys like OJ Mayo.
But it's Milwaukee, bro.
True.
This is Milwaukee.
It is Milwaukee, and it is Jabari's show now, and that's why I'm saying I think he's prime for a prime time outburst. I don't know if Wiggins, I think it's going to be a big dumpster fire over there in Minnesota. You still got Pekovic, you still got Ricky Rubio, so you would think that he'd be getting some good setup dimes, but I'm going with Jabari. That's just me. You have any other rookies that you want to, that are you thinking, oh, here's another rookie I want to talk about. And a lot of guys may have been high on him in the offseason.
KJ?
Not KJ. I was talking about Dante Exum of the Utah Jazz. Australian. He's only like 19.
That's right. He said Australian.
I'm sorry. It's not the fact that he's from Australia that makes him a bad basketball player or anything. I just think he's kind of like a Penny Harden type Penny Hardaway type. Where he's a taller point guard, he can make the wild plays, but the pace of the NBA game is just a little too much for him at this point.
There's are gonna you be trying a, to lose our Australian listening audience?
I'm just saying, there's going to be a learning curve. I don't think Dante
that's like 99% of our listening audience.
I know. I'm sorry, Aussies. I just don't think Dante Exum is somebody that you want to draft in your fantasy, in your standard fantasy leagues. Maybe in a deeper league, you want to keep him as like a stash away player. Maybe if Trey Burke gets hurt or something along those lines, he's got to be thrown into that starting role. But right now, he's a backup point guard to a pretty decent point guard in Trey Burke, who had pretty modest fantasy numbers last year. He's pretty consistent and didn't turn over the ball very much. Now, since we're talking about the Jazz, why don't we go and talk about pretty boy Gordon Hayward. I understand that he's been bulking up a little bit during the off season. He's finishing a little better at the rim. I watched him in a few preseason games, and apparently he learned how to play defense over the off season.
I refuse to believe this.
He was blocking shots. He was stealing the ball.
I don't believe that it's going to translate. Gordon Hayward has never played defense.
What?
And is not going to be able to play defense in the future.
Ever.
Well, he's one of those players that's he's definitely worth a look, but he could be a sleeper, he could be a bust. You just don't know at this point. I mean, I wouldn't look to take him anywhere other than middle to late rounds. He's a middle round talent. So
Well, talking about sleeper or bust, and we're still in the Jazz big men, Derek Favors or Enes Kanter?
I'm going Derek Favors all day.
Favors all day.
All day.
All day. Kanter's kind of got some of that little Marcin Gortat upside, where he's a traditional big dude, gets a lot of rebounds, high field goal percentage, still makes his free throws, and can get you some block shots. It's just, I don't know if he can stay out of foul trouble to give me the consistent minutes and production that I'm really looking for from a center. That being said, the center position this year is one of the shallowest.
And it usually tends to be that way. You have a couple of top-tier centers, and then it's just kind of like take your pick of everyone who's at the same level.
Take your pick of guys who are power forward slash center eligible.
And there's quite a few of those, especially
Let's rank them. Let's go off the top of our heads here. Some of the top five power forward slash center guys to draft in your fantasy league. I'm going to obviously go with Anthony Davis, top of the list. Guys like Kevin Love are up there. Even guys like Al Jefferson, who I think may have a better fantasy year than Kevin Love.
You can't leave out Ibaka just based on blocks and rebounds alone. I mean, he's at the top of that list as well.
Now you got other guys like Chris Bosh,
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Now, speaking of LaMarcus Aldridge, I was reading somewhere where he was being quoted as saying, "I've been working on my jump shot, and I'm going to be taking more threes this year." What are your thoughts about that? I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge during the playoffs, and
he killed the
Rockets with those long jumpers.
He killed them.
If he just takes two steps back, that long jumper is now a three-point shot. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
He's got a good enough looking shot that I don't doubt that he could do that. I mean, he's got a real pretty release, take a couple steps back, get jamming some three-pointers.
So hearing that, does that make you feel like you're a little higher on LaMarcus Aldridge? You're like, hey, now L.A.'s maybe climbing up on my draft board a little bit.
I've already considered him near the top of, you know, his position already. But, you know, that being said, you know, he might rise a spot or two. But he's going to be a top-tier take at power forward center eligibility.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Let me ask you this. Now, we're talking about power forward slash center eligible players.
Well, you had mentioned Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, obviously, he's the man now in Miami. They paid him all that money.
You wanted him to be the second or third fiddle here in Houston. It didn't happen. I was hopeful as well, being a Houston Rocket fan myself.
Well, I did and would have liked that, but for the money that he got paid, yeah, he's going to be a good fantasy player, but I don't think that we would have been well off, we being the Houston Rockets,
right,
giving him a max deal.
That's your team.
Yeah.
Houston Rockets.
Yes, it is. Drop it in.
Okay. Houston Rockets, that's my team. Well, let's keep talking about Miami for a little bit since we landed here. You got Dwayne Wade. You got Bosh. You got Dang. Okay, Bosh is obviously going to be the healthier one out of those three.
Dwayne Wade is just a must-avoid in my personal opinion.
Okay, so you feel like he's, after what you saw last year, where he was basically treated like an outpatient at a local hospital.
He's a big name that's going to underwhelm and underproduce on a consistent basis throughout the year. How many games does he miss all the time? His talent is dwindling in a hurry, and it's very, very evident.
He's a good Instagram follow, okay?
So does that make his fantasy value rise or fall?
Not really. Gabriel Union is pretty hot, though.
I can't argue with that, but once again, what relevance does this have?
She looked good.
Fantasy, okay?
She looked good.
All right, so kick him up a notch.
You got Bosh. Obviously, I think they're going to be working some in and out kind of basketball, really getting him going. Plus, now you know that Bosh has extended his game out to the 3-point line, just knowing that he's going to get that many more touches and that much more looks. He's going to have that much more confidence.
And he hasn't even talked to LeBron James since he left. Not even once, Carlos.
Well, I mean,
not even one time.
From what I understand is that he was like texting LeBron during the whole trade deal and all this before he figured that he was going back to Cleveland. And he'd text him. He's like, hey, man, so what's up? And then LeBron would text him back every time. But he would just text back with responses like, Nothing. But that's it. Just nothing. So I'm Chris Bosh. I'm like, hey, man, I'm talking to Daryl Morey in Houston. I'm maybe going to Chicago. I mean, what do I do?
I just get the feeling that I'm
texting LeBron. I'm texting my teammate. Hey, bud, what's the deal?
I get the feeling that he was like the unliked one on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like D-Wade and LeBron James, even though they might have had some like beef a little bit, like you know, on the court and off, I feel like Chris Bosh is the one that, like, the guy that nobody wants to hang out with, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
he's the guy that you don't tell about the party, and then he finds out and shows up anyways, you know, like...
In an ostrich suit, just kind of looking like a raptor, just creeping the way around the corner.
In an ostrich suit looking like a raptor.
This is true. Only Chris Bosh could pull that off. I'm gonna have to get on the Google image search. I'm sure it's somewhere on there. But that being said, you got Bosh primed for a breakout year. Is Luol Deng primed for the same?
So you're saying Bosh is gonna return to his Toronto numbers?
No, I never said that. I said a breakout year as opposed to breaking out of being the third fiddle that we were so accustomed to seeing.
When I hear breakout year, you know, it's just hard for me to.
I'll say it like this. Chris Bosh is going to have a much more fantasy productive year than he has. He'll have the most fantasy productive year in a Miami Heat uniform. There.
I can't disagree with that statement.
Okay. Luol Deng, on the other hand, I don't think that he is going to be as productive.
Is it because he's so African?
Hey, man. Don't you put that on me, man. I like Luol Deng. He's all right with me.
Well, who said that?
I believe it was...
It's not me putting anything on you.
It was the scouts in Atlanta, and then the general manager repeated it at meeting.
The general manager.
Yeah, the general manager. I think it was Danny Ferry.
Yeah.
But they still kept him. Like, you know, Luol Deng basically said, hey, I forgive you to Danny Ferry. Like, over the interwebs.
Yeah, I heard his response. It was a very well-articulated, you know, smart response.
Yeah, how much money you bet that he didn't write that, though? It was definitely
all of it. All of my money.
You bet all of your money. All of it. Every single drop. All right, so back to Luol Deng. I don't know what to do with Luol. Do I draft him? I like his steal numbers. The threes might be there. He obviously gets your rebounds.
Yeah, he puts up a little bit of everything.
He is like a LeBron James type of player where they play the same position. They do a little bit of the same, but he's obviously not at that level.
Nobody's at that level, but I see what you're saying in terms of he's going to get you some points. He's going to get you some rebounds.
Plus, Dwayne Wade.
He'll drop some assists in there. He'll mix it up.
Who knows what the hell Dwayne Wade's going to be doing?
Dwayne Wade's going to be doing a whole lot of shit in the bed. It's what Dwayne Wade's going to be doing.
S-ing the B?
No, shitting the bed.
Okay, you got Dwayne Wade. Are you drafting Napier in any of your leagues?
Are you drafting Napier? Are you drafting Nerlens Noel?
Ooh, that is somebody I might look into. So we're going to go back to kind of rookies with high draft appeal. Nerlens Noel has been looking really good. I think that Noel's one of those guys that I'll draft in the later rounds if he's available, and I got a lot of power forwards / center guys. You know, I don't have a true center who's just going to get me those defensive statistics like steals and blocks.
We both agree that center is one of the shallowest, if not the shallowest position in the NBA. So he's got to be considered, you know, somewhat.
He's definitely draftable.
He's a giant question mark. There's without doubt. But he is draftable. Where should he be drafted?
Late rounds. Mid to late rounds, depending on what your team looks like, depending on how deep your league is. A lot of different variables, but I'm not going to reach for him off of the unknown. I just can't, you know? I mean, if I got a bunch of weak guys who don't give me a lot of blocks, like power forward / centers like maybe Chris Bosh, then I may be looking for Noel to kind of round out my block numbers on my fantasy team. But I don't know.
Thank you for the hand illustration of the rounding out.
They don't. This is not a visual medium. This is a audio medium. So they.
It's helping me to understand, though.
As right? You see that I'm yes, circling.
Yes, I just want everyone else to know.
Yeah.
As well.
I talk with my hands.
As do I.
Philadelphia, Boston, Sacramento. I mean, these teams that are basically dumpster fires. Got a bunch of looters and riots. What can you expect from their fantasy production? You know, or even, you know, teams like Minnesota and Milwaukee. You got Thaddeus Young used to play for Philadelphia, and now he's playing in Minnesota. Is that somebody that you're like, hey, maybe I, you know, maybe people forgot about Thaddeus Young. Maybe this is somebody that I can kind of get in the later rounds while nobody's looking, you know, because the way that the Yahoo drafts are, the draft board doesn't give him the credit he deserves. You scroll down, you see Thaddeus just sitting there.
Well, that's one thing right there. You really can't go based off of the Yahoo draft rankings. That's in fantasy football. That's in fantasy basketball. That's in anything because their rankings are hot garbage. Draft rankings...
Not as bad as ESPN.
Their draft rankings are terrible. I've basically ignore that altogether. I can file my own list of, you know, who I like, who I'm looking at, and my own rankings. I don't pay any heed to those rankings at all.
Yeah. Boston is another team that I'm kind of interested in. Like, you got guys like Avery Bradley. You got guys like Jared Sullinger, Olenek, Evan Turner is now on the Boston team. Like,
so a lot of these guys that were...
a lot of mishmash of talent, but I don't know if it's going to fit.
Like, yeah, it was a lot of those guys that were on the weekly pickups and then on the weekly drops the next week, you know? Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen there.
What are you going to, you know... Like, I did a mock draft the other night. I had Avery Bradley with my last pick. I was just like, hey, he's available, you know, he does a little bit of everything, why not?
Can I draft Kobe Bryant 15 times?
If you're, no, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
Man, that's what I want, uh-uh. That's what I need.
That's what you need? You know what,
that's
guy?
That's my guy, apparently, right?
All
right,
if we're going to go top all-stars, looters in a riot, okay? Sleeper guys, looters in a riot, and I'm talking about guys that are on shit squads but are going to put up significant numbers because they're surrounded by shit, okay? DeMarcus Cousins for the Sacramento Kings.
You know he's going to get his. He's one of the better power forward center eligibility. Yeah.
Alpha dog. Yeah. He's going to eat, okay? But another guy on his team that a lot of people don't realize, Derek Collison is now there, taking over for Isaiah Thomas, who's now going to be playing on a three-headed point guard monster over there in Phoenix with Bledsoe, Dragic, and Isaiah Thomas. So you got Darren Collison, maybe one of those point guards you might want to keep your eye on in those later rounds, maybe kind of pick up. Another looter in a riot type situation that I'm high on is the Greek freak, Giannis. Don't make me say his last name, but he is...
Yeah, I've seen him on a ton of sleeper boards as well.
Well, here's the thing, is that the coaches... optimistic about his ability, and they're even having him run point from time to time. So, I mean, this guy could have position availability all the way from point guard, shooting guard, small forward to power forward. I mean, that is freakish. So, fitting in with his name of the Greek freak, it's interesting to see how that's going to turn out. And I definitely tell anybody who's listening, if you can draft Giannis in your mid rounds, even earlier mid rounds, you know, I would say Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably going to have somewhat like a Nicholas Batum type season where he just gets a little bit of everything. You know, he gets some steals, some blocks, some three pointers, a lot of assists. There's going to be big turnover numbers. The field goal percentage is going to be up and down, but overall, I think that he is prime for an interesting breakout season this year.
I think that you might be onto something there. He's somebody I would look at drafting in the middle rounds. That's about all I have to say. I don't really have anything else to say.
Okay. Do you have any other looters in a riot all-stars? Because another big name coming off of injury, Kobe Bean Bryant. Do you draft him? How early do you draft him? Do you want him? I know you want him because you had him last year.
I had him last year. I stashed him for him to come back and get like a couple like 10 plus assist games, look good, and then done deal. So I'm done with it this year unless I could pick him up in the late rounds.
At what round do you say Kobe Bryant is available? I have to take him.
Kobe Bryant available.
We'll go standard. We'll say 10 to 12 team leagues. Standard categories, including turnovers.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, latest availability, have to take him, I would say, no later than, like, the fifth round.
Fifth round.
Yeah.
Right. If he's there in the fifth round, maybe even the fourth round, depending what your team looks like and how deep the league is.
I mean, it's worth a shot. He still is Kobe Bryant. Even if it doesn't pan out for you, I mean, you can't feel bad about taking that risk on one of the NBA's greatest all-time players.
Yeah, plus he's just such a dickhead. Like, he's going to come out and he's just pissed off. Fucking ESPN rankings are saying that he's going to finish 30-1 odds, MVP. He's basically saying there's 30 guys in the league that are better than you, Kobe Bryant. That's a slap in the face. I think that's motivation.
I think he was. I saw a poll on ESPN the other day that he was rated number 40 overall, as far as like a non-fantasy, like just overall straight up rankings. You know, players overall ratings or whatever. Number 40. So I the poll was Kobe Bryant's rating of number 40. You know, how do you feel about this? He should be rated higher. He's rated appropriately, or he's rated lower. I put rated appropriately.
So, 40, okay. Yeah. And I mean, 40, that, like you're saying, right around that fourth,
I mean, we're talking about
round.
In the now.
Right,
in
fourth to fifth round, if he's there, you got to take him, because he can do a little bit of everything. And he can also shoot the damn lights out on any given night. You know, Kobe Bryant can just have one of those nights where he makes 7 3-pointers.
But we haven't seen it in so long that, you know, people are starting to wonder.
Achilles tendon injuries are something that are definitely hard to come back from. My boyhood idol, Isaiah Thomas, that's what basically nixed his career. He's like, look, it's too much.
And you think about, obviously, Kobe Bryant's got some good, you know, finishing moves at the rim and everything like that, but his shit is the fake, like, you know, you've already got the ball, you got your leg planted, the step inside, turn around, fade away. That's like his shit right there.
Yeah.
And with your Achilles tendon being injured, that's something that you're going to struggle with. I mean, maybe he's healed up all the way. Who knows? You're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. Obviously, we're talking about scores. We're talking about Kobe being Bryant. We're talking about fantasy looters and riot all-stars. We're talking about guys that are on shit squads but are just going to put up monster numbers because they're surrounded by shit. Carmelo Anthony, prime example, in New York. He shops himself around during the offseason. He says, hey, you know, I want to be loved. I want people to want me. And he was going out. And he's talking to whoever's willing to buy
Baby
him dinner.
Baby, I'm going to want you. Baby, I'm going to need you.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to be wanted. And at the end of the day, it's all bullshit, man. It's all a facade. We all knew he was going to take the money. Duck's a big game. He's like saying, I'm all about winning. If you're all about winning, you would have signed up with Chicago. That being said, he's in New York.
New York Knicks ain't doing shit.
They're not going to be doing very much, if anything. Tim Hardaway Jr., he's a nice talent. They lost Tyson Chandler, Andrea Bargnani.
Okay, so now I have another question for you. We were talking Kobe Bryant a second ago, a player coming off injury, another big-name player coming off injury, whose draft status in terms of where you want to look at taking him is up in the air. Is Derrick Rose. I mean, he played unimpressively in the FIBA championship. He didn't look good. He's on a lot of bust lists. I'm seeing, you know, he's not gonna be able to reproduce what he once was. But that being said, I feel like there's got to be a point where you got to just, I mean, he's available. You've got to take him. And right. What round is that going to be?
For me, maybe a little bit later than Kobe.
Yeah.
So you're saying
you would take Kobe before Derrick Rose. I can't say that I completely agree with that. Because Rose is still going to be, you know, he's going to get plenty of opportunity.
But here's the thing with Kobe and Derrick, okay? Kobe has proven his grittiness. He has proven the fact that he will play through injury. He walked to the free throw line when he ripped his Achilles tendon and shot the free throw. And walked off the court with a ripped Achilles tendon, okay? Derrick Rose sees a guy fall on TV, and he's out for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, it's just then they need to stop letting him watch TV.
I'm saying it's a poor analogy, but you get what I'm saying. The frailty of Derrick Rose versus the, you know, the ambiguousness of Kobe Bryant coming back from an Achilles injury. I would go with Kobe on that one because I've seen it before. I know he's tough. I know he's got a lot to prove, and I know that he's a champion, okay? As much as I hate to say it, Kobe Bean Bryant is a champion in the league. He really cares about what people think about him, where Derrick Rose could give two shits less. Did you see him non-celebrating on the stage there for FIBA?
Because
everybody's dancing up and down like, yeah, we won it, and he's just like...
Because he knew that he didn't do shit to help that team win. No, seriously. Because I watched all those games, and the thing that inspires me about like wanting to pick him, you know, to draft him, but at the same time, if it makes any sense, makes me want to stay away, is that he's out to prove himself. When you look at him in the FIBA tournament, he was not shy about driving to the rim or trying to take a shot. But at the same time, he's doing that to a degree where he's taking ill-advised shot after one.
To the team's detriment.
Yeah. He's driving the lane into three players when everybody's standing wide open and trying to do some, you know, fancy layup. Because he's hungry. He is hungry. He wants to prove that he's back and he's still Derrick Rose. But that's hurting him at the same time.
Let's talk about Derrick Rose's teammates, newly acquired Pau Gasol. I know that you're high on him in the fact that he's willing to play through injuries such as swollen lady parts.
Yeah, he's been to the OBGYN and he's been checked out, so he's
got a clean bill of health.
He's good to go for now.
For now.
Yes.
So it's interesting. Pau Gasol is still one of the most skilled big men in the league. As much as we like to kid and make fun of his frailty, you can run a lot of high post stuff with him. He's definitely going to get some boards. He'll drop some dimes to Derek. You got rookie McDermott coming in. I look at him as kind of like a bigger, more athletic Mike Dunleavy type or maybe like a Kyle Korver knockdown shooter, but he can dribble off the ball a little bit. I don't know if I'm drafting McDermott, but I'm interested to see how he plays. He might go on my watch list, if you will. You know, if I'm in need of threes and in need of like high free throw percentage guys to kind of round out my team a little bit at the end of the bench.
All right, well, let's stop talking about that crap and let's get to what I really want to talk about.
Okay, what's that?
And I'm jumping in the Rockets corner at this point in time.
We were in the Rockets.
No, we were never officially there. I had a couple little drop-ins there. Houston Rockets, that's my
team. Houston Rockets. Okay.
But now I wanna propose to you. We know where James Harden's at. You know, obviously he's a high draft pick. Dwight Howard's one of the best centers in the NBA.
Is James Harden a top five pick?
He's either a top five or, you know, maybe like six or seven.
Are you taking Chris Paul over James Harden? Are you taking James Harden over Chris Paul?
Based on, I might have said Chris Paul more recently, but based on some of this research I've been doing, there's a couple good points made about Chris Paul missing on average 16 games per year the last couple years. I mean, that's a healthy amount of games to miss.
That's a good amount.
It really is, and that alone might be a reason for me to take James Harden because he's getting his minutes. He's getting his night in and night out. But anyways, the players that I did want to ask you about were Trevor Ariza. Do you think his value has risen or fallen, stayed the same since he came over to the Rockets? And also a potential, I'm kind of going to answer this one while asking you at the same time,
right, okay.
Is a potential sleeper pick is Terrence Jones, still kind of a relative unknown throughout the NBA. He's still, you know, he's made a little bit of a name for himself, but he's definitely on the rise. He does a lot of things. So those are just the two names that I want to throw out there from the Rockets that might have some fantasy value.
Okay, so you're asking me about Terrence Jones and who is the other guy?
Trevor Ariza.
Okay, so I honestly, I think that Trevor Ariza is going to have a little bit more fantasy value this year because he's playing with a better center. I mean, he was playing with Gortat last year.
But remember, he did have career highs in percentages last year.
Three-point field goal percentages, and yeah. I'll tell you why. John Wall is an amazing point guard, and he is really fast.
You're going to look for those numbers to dip, I would say.
I think his three-point field goal percentages are going to dip a little bit. But his overall fantasy value as far as rebound numbers, assist numbers, steals, blocks, I think that this team is going to need for him to be kind of like a veteran leadership type where going to lead by example defensively, and he's not going to be selfish.
It's exactly what we need because Chandler Parsons was instrumental to this team. He didn't wow you on the box score night in and night out, but he did a lot of things to help the team win. And for us to continue to win like that, Trevor Ariza was brought here for that reason.
To fill that void.
So that was a reason he was brought here.
Nice.
A reason. You like it?
I got it. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. John Wall is really good at creating that corner three. If you watch the Wizards, he really breaks down the top perimeter defense, like their mincemeat, and he really gets into the nitty-gritty of the defense, and he kicks it out so easily that guys like Martell Webster were hot adds and drops. Guys like Ariza had significant fantasy seasons.
So
Bradley Beal also dealing with the injury.
In answer to my question, you think Ariza is going to...
I think overall his fantasy value is going to have a little bit of an uptick. I think that his three-point field goal percentage and maybe his three-pointers made might take a little bit of a dip because Patrick Beverley is no John Wall, and he's not going to be getting him the open looks that John Wall does.
He's a defensive stopper, and that's all it is.
True.
Yeah.
Now, Terrence Jones, on the other hand, is an interesting later-round pickup where you're...
He's got a ton of upside, that's for sure.
Because Terrence Jones can knock down a three. Terrence Jones will get a rebound.
Yeah, he's
offensive
not afraid
and defense.
To get dirty and clean up some
of
the trash.
Now, his blocking numbers aren't as high as I'd like.
Not spectacular.
The steals are, hit or miss. But, I mean, if you're drafting Terrence Jones, you're getting a guy, you're saying, all right, he's going to give me maybe 15 to 12, 13 points a game, given on, what's going on there, then you're looking at maybe 7 rebounds.
But he's one of those, he's one of those guys that when they're locked in on James Harden and or Dwight Howard, that they're going to be looking to produce. I mean, he's going to have to produce for the team to succeed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
He's coming from high pedigree, being a Kentucky Wildcat. It's not like he doesn't have talent. You don't play college basketball at Kentucky and not have talent.
I'm a T. Jones fan.
So, yeah, he may be a sleeper, but I'm not sold. Me personally, I'm just not sold. I'm not reaching on Terrence Jones in my draft board. That's just
the hater's gonna hate. I'm gonna say, haters gonna hate.
I'm not hating.
And then Taylor Swift just shakes it off. That's what she does. So I'm gonna do the same. I wish you could see Carlos Garza over here gyrating, shaking it off.
Just shaking off the shoulders. Just shake it off.
So we had a lot of good discussion so far, I think, on a couple sleepers here and there, a couple players that are going to be beneficiaries of playing good player on a bad team, some of the top picks, some of the injuries. Is there anything we've missed? Anything we want to go over?
I think the Western Conference is going to be interesting.
The Western Conference is going to be tighter than ever before, if that's even possible. There's just so much competition. I know we're coming off fantasy here for a little bit, but I look for my team, the Rockets, to decline a little bit. I'm looking at like 7 seed, maybe, around that range.
I don't know if Portland's going to be up there as much as they were last year either. I don't know. Golden State is going to be better. Denver Nuggets are going to be a little healthier.
Dallas is on the rise, I believe.
Dallas has made some great moves with Chandler P. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I can tell you from a fantasy standpoint, stay away from any of the Spurs with the exception of maybe Kawhi Leonard.
Well, Kawhi Leonard's going to get drafted, but don't go out and get him super early. I mean, the great talent that he is, just drafting any Popovich players is always a giant risk.
But he's a younger guy. He's not going to get sad.
But he's still going to restrict minutes, man, especially if they're winning. It doesn't matter young or old. That's just how Pop conducts business.
Are you drafting Boris Diaw?
No.
He's lost like 40 pounds or something ridiculous like that, man.
I don't care. He's a Frenchie. He's not on my team.
Okay, are you drafting Amari Stoudemire, who has been taken? Of course not.
I do not want Amari Stoudemire.
Listen to this. There's been pictures Amari Stoudemire taking like wine baths to help oxidize his red blood cells to open up his... bloodstream. I don't know how that works.
I'm just watching him the last couple of years. Just the way he moves just doesn't look good. He's got no like swiftness about him anymore, if that makes any sense. He just looks like he's kind of just lumbering around out there.
Well, talking about a big guy who can move, do you remember Larry Sanders and the fight tape? Where he was slip sliding and dancing all over the place.
You can slip slide that many times and not fall down. I mean, you've got to respect that.
So, Larry Sanders, are you maybe picking Larry Sanders in your later rounds?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, that's obviously if you're looking for a boost in blocks and rebounds, he's your guy. So,
are you staying away from everything Boston? Are you staying away from everything New Jersey? Everything Philadelphia? You're not sure. Michael Carter Williams, Jared Sullinger. Darren Williams, Brooke Lopez, obviously somebody that you might draft, but you're not happy with because he's always injured. You know, I mean, those lesser teams, are you drafting any of those guys?
I mean, just because someone's...
Joe Johnson?
Just because someone's on a lesser team doesn't mean don't draft them, you know?
They don't have consistent, you know, games either. There's a lot of blowouts. They're getting blown out most of the time.
Like there's a couple interesting players on there that I might consider drafting, a la KJ McDaniels and or Nerlens Noel. I mean, there's a lot of young talent on there, so really know. It's something to keep an eye on for sure.
So I think that's going to do it for the podcast. We're going to follow up this podcast with another podcast coming soon before the season starts. We're basically going to just break down our rankings, top 10, maybe top 15 on every position, point guard through center, and we'll see where we're going from there. And then maybe
throw in some must avoids type scenario picks.
Yeah. I think we touched on a lot of different spots though. Gave some people some good info.
You know, we jumped around a little bit, but this is our first podcast in a while.
It's inaugural, yeah.
Maybe we'll get it going a little more organized this next time, but feels good to be talking some basketball.
This is true.
You know, like I said, you know, obviously I'm a big football guy. I'm in mid-season form in football, but yeah. It feels good to have basketball on the way back in. It's my favorite part of the year. I got both of them going at once.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good times.
Yeah, that's what she said. But that is... I like them going both at
them,
once.
Both of them going... Okay. All right.
All right, Garrett. So I think that's going to do it for the podcast. You can go ahead and follow everything NBA at the Facebook page, NBA Fantasy Podcast. Follow me on the Twitters, Carlos_GARZA11. I guess that's going to do it for now.
Wrap it up, put a bow on it.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Put it under the tree?
Give you some rankings in the next podcast. And then obviously when the season starts, we'll get back to our normal formats of our ads, our drops, our injured list.
Also, you know, I might have to throw in like a top five, like costume list for Halloween. You know what I'm saying? You got... Who knows what it is this year? Actually, I'm gonna go Elsa and / Anna at number one. Just guess in the dark there.
Yeah, just get them both in there. Definitely.
Very, very pertinent information to all of our listeners out there.
Top five information. Until next time, folks. Don't forget to set your lineups and pay attention to the injury report.
Already on some hot, straight up out them Coney Island blocks. Crossover, step back, I might drop. Game on the line, I'ma take the shot. Or next, streets got them handles, he might drop. Shout out to third of my block.
Trying to win, coach passed me the rock. Rock to the rack, and one, you forgot. Brooklyn brand, now I'm out NC. Me and Kimmer in the back on dead me. Pops, help me down, kept me out the streets. They won the high roads, grew up on the concrete.
He told me you did it. I'm like, I can't believe you did this too. Yeah. You gotta watch out. You know, Bobby comes out here for the capture.
I've been bowling hard since like the fifth grade. Watching AI game 40 with the French braids. Love Indiana. I'ma miss some good days. Charlotte Hornet, MJ. That's a new way. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I've been getting money till I fall out. Scooper made, then I tell her call out. Shorty like the way that I boss out. Getting money till I fall out. Scooper made, then I tell her call out. Shorty like the way that I floss out. Hit the weight room, then I hit the gym. Started from the bottom, it was either sink or swim. No hesitation, make a move, then I'm at the rim. I got tunnel vision, all I'm trying to do is win. New year, new money, so I'm coming for them. Niggas hate, man, they ain't got nothing on them. Two chains, now I'm stunting on them. See a center in the lane and I'm dunking on them. Ah! Had to do it for my fam, son.
Yeah.
Had the toe shooter and some
N1.
Born ready playing in your speakers, yo.
Ah.
Just copped a Wraith about a week ago. VIP, you know we bugging, bro. 30 bottles, tell them keep it coming, yo.
Come on.
Top spot, you know what I'm gunning for.
Yeah.
Born ready N1, in case you didn't know.
Ha, ha.